Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to the sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Let's turn to Colossians again this morning. Been busy with this shorter series within the book of Colossians, Your Family Matters to God. And so today we're going to be focusing on fathers. Fathers, your family matters to God. So chapter 3, and our focus will be verse 21. But once again, I think I do want to read from verse 16, just creating something of the context, or reminding us of the context of this instruction to fathers. So reading from verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And dear Father, you are our Father in heaven. And may we learn from you the way that you deal with us. And from your word this morning, give us, Lord, the eyes of faith to see, and Lord, also to respond in obedience to you. And as we read earlier, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit that you have given us to be at work among us today in the preaching, but also in the receiving of your word. And we pray this, Lord, that you would be exalted. Amen. Well, I want to begin this message this morning introducing the topic by referring to horse training. Now, I know nothing about horse training, but I understand certain things. Maybe Graham, you would be able to verify the truth of this. But I'm led to believe that there are two ways to tame or break in a horse. The one method is patiently and progressively making use of a bit and a bridle and perhaps a blanket and a saddle. And done correctly, I'm told this can produce what they call a full-spirited, obedient horse. There's another way. The other way is sometimes used, especially when it comes to difficult horses. And you can take a 2x4. Okay, now in case you don't know what a 2x4 is, think of the wood that they use in constructing a rafter in a roof. 2 inches, 50 millimeters by 4 inches, 200 millimeters, and you can clobber the horse. Okay, you can, that's what I'm told, knocking the obstinate horse to its knees, breaking and taming the horse, but at a great cost. You end up with a spiritless animal. An animal, though obedient, will really never be what it could have been or should have been. And my point in this introduction is that there are children like that. There really are children like that. Their spirits have been broken. They are obedient, but something is missing. Something is wrong. They have, to use Paul's words in our passage, they become discouraged. They become disheartened. They become spiritless. You see, having urged children to obey their parents, that's what we looked at in verse 20. Thank you, Peter, for the connection in that children's talk this morning. Paul now turns to fathers. Many fathers, we are fathers, many fathers here today. And he urges them in verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And so I want to start on the last part, the third part of this verse. There are three parts to it, and I'm going to go backwards. I want to begin the message by considering the goal of Christian fathers. And my point is simply this. What do you want to raise your children to be? Now, I think that's an important question. Each of us as parents, we think about that. We're involved with our children for many, many years. For me, it's been now 35 years I've been involved in parenting. We want the very best for our children. Isn't that so? We want the best for our children. We desire as Christian parents to see our children well-rounded, I think we would say. We want them to be Christian citizens. We want them to have a good education. We want them to be employable. It's really a concern if you have to carry the responsibility of your child into the latter years of adulthood. We want our children to be able to function in society and settle down with a loving family and to lead a godly life. We want to pass on the baton of faith. We also know as parents, our children are different. I have four children, and each one of them so different. Some, generally speaking now, are good at logic and science. I have one child that is particularly good in creative. She loves to paint. Other children are practical in what they do with their hands, and we understand as we raise these children that they will end up in different places doing different things. Some of our children end up in finance. Some of them end up in management or engineering or to be nurses or doctors or pastors or teachers and homemakers. And the list there are many, many possibilities that our children can end up doing. Now, I think that's good and well. I think we all understand that. But there is in this process of achieving these good intentions a common goal. Now remember the point I'm trying to make. What do you want to raise your children to be? What is this common goal that all fathers ought to be considering and have on their mind? Now Paul puts this common goal, this outcome, negatively. In other words, he's saying to fathers, this is not what you want your children to become. You must avoid at all costs raising your children to be discouraged. There is a style of fatherhood that brings about discouragement. So now I want you to make this sermon practical. What does it mean? This business of discouragement. As I thought about it in my own life when I've been discouraged or disheartened, what is it that dominates my mind and my thinking? And I landed on the reality of a sense of hopelessness. When we are discouraged, everything seems dark. When we go through the difficulties of life, it feels when we are discouraged they will never pass. We kind of think the sun will never shine again. And so the goal then, the positive goal, I'm convinced of, our children need to move forward with prospects. And I think the better word to use in achieving that is, how do we as fathers instill hope in our children? Now again, the message needs to develop this morning, because I think even those who are not believers will agree that there needs to be the sense of hope in the child, and the child shouldn't be discouraged. What would Jesus say if we could ask him? What would Paul say if we could ask him? Or what would they not say if we were to ask them about this discouragement? What kind of freedom from discouragement do you want your children to have? I don't think Jesus or Paul or Peter or anywhere in the Bible it would be said, I want your children to be freed from discouragement by being filled with hope that they will become wealthy. I don't think so. And yet so often that is our intention. Or well-known or an intellectual or married or successful. I'm convinced the message to fathers, be the kind of father who will not discourage your children, but encourage them to have hope in God. Folk, that has to be. Hope in God. It's the only thing, the only reality. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my portion forever. There's no real hope beyond hope in God. And so, parents, fathers, we don't want to be like those involved in horse training who break our children. We want to encourage our children so that they do not lose heart or become withdrawn or disinterested or sullen toward God Himself. What do you want to raise your children to be? Do you want to be an instrument of God's blessing and encouragement? Do you want to avoid the stumbling block of hopelessness? Well, there's something you should do. So that's number one from number three of our verse. To avoid discouragement. But how do we do that? There's something that you should not do to do it. Do not provoke your children. That's the second point of this message. There's a warning here from the Apostle Paul not to misuse the authority, the God-given authority given to a father. He has just said in verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Wow. That gives to parents amazing responsibility and authority. Children are to do what parents say. Well, that means it is possible that fathers misuse this authority. And so the Apostle Paul has in mind that the fathers can treat their children in such a way that their spirit is broken and they become hopelessly discouraged. Do not provoke your children. There are short-term discouragements. And I think we must distinguish between a short-term discouragement, which sometimes God brings into our own lives, that brings about a long-term benefit. I do want to give two areas of what we fathers sometimes do to bring about this long-term discouragement in the life of a child. What do fathers do that provoke children to long-term discouragement and hopelessness? Number one, we send conflicting messages. You see, what you are in relation to God is what your children see. We can pretend with each other. It's easy to do that. You cannot, and I cannot, and I've said this in a message a few weeks ago, our children see us as we are. Dads, they know the sense of your being and your behavior and your attitude. They see you as you are. And so when they see something different to what they hear from you, it provokes discouragement. And I've jotted down some areas, and I come as one who struggled and has struggled over the years. Your children will be discouraged when they are disappointed in you. And I've watched some Hollywood family movies over the years, and I'm sure you've seen them too, where a child is waiting at a sports event, and dad has promised to be there, and he doesn't arrive. So even Hollywood understand that. It hurts the child. And it's not because they didn't get the latest gift like an Xbox. It's when dads and moms repeatedly make promises but don't deliver. They seldom deliver. And so the challenge to us fathers is we need to learn from the faithfulness of God. Keeps his promises and is true to his word. Another way that we send a conflicting message to our children, because our children are so different, they can become discouraged when they perceive that they are rejected or less favored. And I want to tell you that's a difficult thing for a parent to navigate, because our children are different. I had it in my family, where my one child said, you gave me more hidings than you gave. And I've had to say, yes, it's because you were more naughty. You know? But perception, children perceive, and so how do we navigate that to affirm that we love this one as much as we love that one? Cuts deep into the hearts of our children when they feel less loved. Children are also discouraged when the goalposts are meaningless. What I mean by that is we so often threaten or speak about certain consequences, but we don't follow through on them. I'm going to tell you, if you don't do this, you're going to be disciplined. One, two, three. And it never happens. And if that's the repeated pattern, constantly moving the goalposts, and today's restrictions and boundaries are tomorrow's permissions, and this poor child is adrift, as it were, and is confused and is led to discouragement. There's another one, a challenge. Children will be discouraged when dad, you and I, are supposed to be the leader in the home, but abdicate our responsibility to our wives and allow them to manipulate the situation. It's a close to the bone one. But it's a challenge. Husbands are to be the leaders, are to be the head. And children need to see that. Children will be discouraged when we rain on them constant criticism, and not affirming them and showing them sincere love and affirmation. Now, there are many on the list, and I have one more here. How can they be led in hope to God if you're demonstrating something different in your life? You want them to hope in God. You want them to follow Christ. That's your intention. That's what you say. But then they see, you give yourself to other things as a priority, whether it be work or picnicking or fishing or golf or whatever it may be, instead of even being in the Lord's house on a Sunday. It sends a message to our children. Sending mixed messages provokes discouragement. There's a better approach. Most important part of that approach is to rear our children, to demonstrate our own faith, and seek to lead them to the Lord Jesus as their Savior. To have confidence in God. It's not easy. I want to acknowledge that. Perhaps a couple of words to dads and dads-to-be even here today. It means a need for humility and even a willingness to admit failure. We do get it wrong at times. But we must admit that we get it wrong. It's okay to confess our sin and trust it. And that sends a message to our children that we trust God, we trust Jesus for forgiveness and cleansing. I jotted a couple of things. I started out by saying that we have a Father in heaven. And I wondered if that doesn't help us understand how we ought to mold or seek to have our lives molded. Children seeing in us our Father in heaven, inadequately, yes, in our lives, but something of it. What is God like? God has strength, but He has tenderness. He's a God of wrath, justice, but He's a God of mercy. He's a God that ought to be exalted, He is transcendent, but He's also a God who condescends. And He's a God who is wise and yet provides patient guidance. And so we can learn from our Father in heaven. But what else do fathers do that provoke children to long-term discouragement? And it's my second point. to dish out vindictive and erratic discipline. There's nothing worse than a child being in a context where discipline is unpredictable, where a father responds impulsively and perhaps even in a hostile way, and the child becomes fearful and bitter and deceitful and discouraged. And the child lands in a place where he or she says to him, what is the use? How can I hope that being good is any better than being bad? But when discipline is controlled, it ought to be controlled, it ought to be appropriate, it ought to be consistent, it ought to be based on clear rules and principles of justice, but an atmosphere of love created where children can flourish in freedom. And what happens is they gain confidence that this is the way God is. God is not a fickle God. He's not impulsive, he's not erratic, he's not inconsistent. There's order. And so Father's challenge to us, don't provoke your children by being impulsive. And you know, it's children mainly in the younger years, but of course that develops into the teen years. And of course when they're adults, we have less influence in this regard. But certainly while they're in our care, be like your Father in heaven, so that your children can know Him, become hopeful and confident in Him. My last point, which is the first part of the verse. Where does the buck stop? Fathers. It addresses fathers. Fathers, your family matters to God. And so we are responsible. You and I carry a responsibility for the spiritual, the physical, the moral well-being of the family. And our children are more important than horses. We'll go back to the horses. Our children have eternal souls. They are sinners needing to be led to the Savior. And so we need the help of God. Lord, help us to fulfill this responsibility. Help us to be the kind of men, the kind of man who gives hope and happiness and confidence in God, even as we ourselves demonstrate and experience the hope and happiness and confidence in God. And so, Lord, I pray to this end. I pray for fathers. I pray for myself in this regard, Lord, a different season with parenting. But, Lord, always needing your wisdom, needing the truth of your word to guide and direct. And I pray for fathers, Lord, each of us, and even moms supporting their husbands and fathers in the home to live out the reality of your design in the way that you have structured and designed the family. And Lord, may we as fathers be teachable. I think that is a difficulty. We often think we have it together, or our ways are the best ways. Instead, Lord, I pray for that willingness to learn. And even from this message, from this passage this morning, praying for our children that they would not be discouraged, that they would not become spiritless, but they would grow up to be men and women who have hope in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.